first to Gaza, where the fighting and the killing continues. We'll be hearing from UNRWA's Chris Gunness in Gaza in a moment about that shelling of a school in Jabalia overnight, in which at least 19 Palestinians were killed. But first to Israel, where recent opinion polls suggest that a vast majority of Jewish Israelis support their government and the military action. So too does the main opposition Labour Party, headed now by Isaac Herzog, a son of Chaim Herzog, the Dublin-born former president of Israel. A short time ago, I spoke by phone to Isaac Herzog, and I asked him first how this death and destruction could end.
It will end, in my mind, as soon as Hamas stops firing and agrees to a ceasefire. However, they basically did not agree or violated any ceasefire proposal, which so far Israel has been accommodating any such request. I'm the leader of the Israeli opposition, and I lead the peace camp in Israel. But I can tell you, objectively speaking, that Netanyahu has been quite cautious and was willing to accept ceasefires all along. And unfortunately, last night, the Hamas leader of the military wing of Hamas, an arch terrorist by the name of Muhammad Deif, got out and sent kind of a pre-recorded message saying, "We won't give up, we will continue."
So you support Netanyahu unequivocally, do you, in all that he's doing here?
I will explain it. It's not that in all that he's doing. I have major differences with Netanyahu, but we give him backing so long as these decisions are reasonable and focused and well taken, and they are indeed. Namely, Israel did not want to go into this confrontation. It adamantly refused for a while to respond. Then it responded lightly. Nothing helped. Our citizens, including myself and my family, were under missiles for a long time, until Israel went in to eradicate the missiles and found out, to its dismay, the incredible infrastructure of tunnels under our villages on the border.
How do you justify, how do you defend the killing of over 1,000 civilians in Gaza?
It's not 1,000 civilians. Many, many of them are Hamas fighters. I do agree there are many tragedies. It's extremely painful, and you should know that in Israel there is a lot of remorse and sorrow. However, we have to understand the exact picture. The picture is that the missiles are launched and the tunnels from people's homes, from mosques, from shops, from schools. Give you an example, there's a girls' agricultural school in Bet Hanun, which is also paid for by the European taxpayers. And in the playground, we've unraveled an automatic launching pad of 24 missiles. So then you go in, and there are tragedies. Although we alert the people, we send them text messages, we call them, and we hand out leaflets. We all want to end this. You should know that, and I tell it to your listeners. We all want to end it. And the other side simply doesn't want to. Using the fact that we are kind of obeying international law, and they can do whatever the hell they want to.
But the United Nations says you're not obeying international law. The UNRWA in Gaza said that they fed you the coordinates of a number of schools where hundreds of people were taking refuge, and yet Israel went ahead and shelled those buildings and killed innocent civilians.
Okay, so there are arguments about some of the facts. First of all, we've asked UNRWA to expose the amount of missiles which were hidden. Many, many missiles were hidden in the school and were discovered, and where this was confirmed by the Secretary General of the UN. Secondly, there was one event which was definitely erroneous, which we are looking into and investigating in depth. And you know that in Israel, everybody obeys the law, and they, even from the president down, were sent to jail if they didn't obey the law. And finally, part of the issue is that some of the launchings came from that school, or those schools. And I agree, I have a lot of respect for UNRWA, and UNRWA is caught in between. This is part of the problem of this warfare.
Let's suppose, even agreeing or accepting your argument for the moment, let's suppose some missiles are fired from the general area of a school where civilians are taking refuge. Are you saying that the IDF are then under orders to continue to attack that building, knowing that
God forbid. No.
Well, why then does it happen?
Because some of them they've been fired at. They've been fired at from the schools, or in some of the places the launchers are from the school, so they shoot back.
But
you know that
there are hundreds of civilians there, that there are women and children there, and still you proceed to shell that building, knowing that the attack will necessarily result in the killing of those innocent civilians. Why?
Oh, God forbid. Nobody, that's absolutely not true. Nobody is aiming in those specific buildings. Rather, the outside premises where the launchers are staged there. Now, the horrific thing is that Hamas, which tries to protect itself, to present itself as the protector of the citizens of Gaza, is the one who's bringing so much havoc and pain on Gaza. And one needs to understand it. There is a regional coalition here of moderate forces who wants to fight terror and seek peace. And this includes Egypt and Jordan and the Gulf states and Saudi Arabia and Israel and the Palestinian Authority led by Mahmoud Abbas. And we are confronted by dangerous, really dangerous phenomena from the east, such as ISIS, with Hezbollah in the north, and with Hamas in
but
the south.
But you're not fighting them.
We are faced with in the region. And therefore, we are fighting people who are trying to kill us. And we are fighting people who have dug terrible tunnels below our houses, children's homes, and our living rooms in all of the villages on our border, trying to kidnap them by the thousands, drug them, and kill them. This is the issue.
And you want to know
the real truth? Most of those villages are the leaders of the peace camp in Israel and are left of labor in our political map. That's the real tragedy.
When this phase of the conflict stops, what then will be Israel's move, given that
I said, as the leader of the opposition, that I would give a very big blow to Hamas, and parallel to that, drive to Ramallah, where Abu Mazen, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, is situated, open the door and start negotiating peace with him. I am committed adamantly to moving to a peaceful solution in the region. And this requires an international unanimous consensus that Gaza must be demilitarized, that a major rehabilitation program for Gaza must be included, and that Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen, returns to Gaza and takes full control of Gaza.
But whatever you say about Hamas, surely what they seek in terms of the conditions for a ceasefire are valid. They say that they want the blockade, the siege to end, and they want their people to lead a normal life, a life they haven't had for many years.
So we all agree. But then what happens is, whenever we do that, they take your taxpayers' money, and instead of spending it on welfare and well-being of the people of Gaza, they spent it on horrific tunnels, huge terror infrastructure, and even, listen to this, child slavery in the tunnels that they are digging. So please, don't take an illusion that they are the good guys in this equation. They are the horrific guys in this equation. We are willing to talk to any good guy who's willing to negotiate peace with us, even if he's our adversary, but not to terrorists who are trying to kill us.
At the end of this, surely, though, you're now further away from peace. The disproportionate use of force on a civilian population in Gaza has enraged them. They will be even less likely to want to make peace with you.
I am not sure, because I think that they understand that the Hamas brought huge havoc on them, that the way to get out of this problem of Gaza should have been, instead of Hamas hijacking Gaza brutally and killing all the Fatah people and making it a base of terror, should have been switching and turning it into part of the Palestinian state that ought to be built and founded and declared in a mutual agreement between the nations.
And that was Isaac Herzog, leader of Israel's opposition Labour Party, talking to us on the phone from Jerusalem. Well, for more on this story, I've been talking to Chris Gunness of UNRWA, the UN agency in Gaza. I asked him first about that overnight shelling of a girls' school in Jabalia in northern Gaza, in which at least 19 people were killed and scores more badly injured.
We have visited the site and gathered evidence. We've analysed fragments. We've examined craters and other damage. Our initial assessment is that it was Israeli artillery that hit our school, in which there were 3,300 people who had sought refuge. We believe that there were at least three impacts. It's too early to give a confirmed death toll, but we know that there were multiple civilian deaths, including women and children. The guard, the UNRWA guard who was trying to protect the site, he was also killed. And remember, these are people who were instructed to leave their homes by the Israeli army. We've condemned in the strongest possible terms this serious violation of international law by Israeli forces. I mean, last night, children killed in their sleep. This is an affront to all of us. It's a source of universal shame. And frankly, the world today stands disgraced and should hang its head in shame.
And the Israelis were very clear, you say, that this building was being used to house refugees.
We notified the Israeli army 17 times, 1-7, that the Jabalia Elementary Girls' School, we informed them of the exact coordinates of this school, its location, and we informed them that it was housing thousands of internally displaced people. We informed them to ensure its protection. And the last of those calls was at 10 to 9 last night, just a few hours before this fatal shelling. And can I say, you know, we've moved beyond the realm of humanitarian action alone. We are in the realm of accountability, which is why we're saying to the international community, it must take deliberate international political action to put an end to the continuing carnage that Gaza has become.
Not that it would be a defence, but are you aware, were any shells, any rockets fired by Palestinian militants from the vicinity, general area of that school around that time?
We are responsible for what happens inside our installations, and I can tell you there is no evidence that we've revealed yet, but there is no evidence whatsoever that there were militants firing rockets out of that school. But I think you need to put the Israeli army, does militant activity, given considerations of proportionality and distinction, justify a strike on a school in which people are killed, a school in which there were 3,300 people? I'm not saying there was a deliberate targeting, but you need to ask the Israeli army if there was deliberate targeting, because if they're saying there were militants there, so they hit the school, you can draw your own conclusions. But let me stress again, we are not accusing the Israeli army. We are saying that what struck the school was Israeli artillery.
But if they were to hit the school, if they were to aim at the school, they'd have to feed in those same coordinates that you gave them, correct?
Look, on all of this military stuff, you really need to speak to people who have that kind of expertise. All I can tell you is that as a humanitarian, this has now moved beyond the realm of humanitarian action alone. We're in the realm of accountability. We have to have accountability for this.
Chris, you're aware, obviously, that the Israelis will say, not specifically about this incident, but that generally, that rockets are being stored and are being fired from either within UN buildings or near to UN buildings. Now, obviously, the UN don't want any rockets anywhere near their buildings or anywhere else. But what is it you can do to prevent it, to stop that happening?
As a matter of public record, we have condemned in the strongest possible terms the three occasions on which we found rockets in our schools. There were schools that were mothballed for the summer. They were closed down. And these weapons were found because of our own inspection, and we took the appropriate action to make these places safe, and we followed to the letter the procedures for such incidents in UN humanitarian operations anywhere in the world. But you need to ask the Israeli army, would the presence of militants near this school justify what happened last night? Children killed as they slept next to their parents on the floor of a classroom in a UN-designated shelter.
Is it time for the UN to rethink its role or how it operates within the Gaza Strip?
Well, certainly we're overwhelmed. Our schools are completely full of displaced people. Schools that are meant for 1,000 kids during the day have now got 2,000, 3,000 people in them. Our schools are being hit. Our staff are being killed. With the Israeli army telling thousands of people to leave their homes, there may soon be tens of thousands in stranded in the streets of Gaza without food, without water, without shelter, if these attacks continue. So we are overwhelmed. And yes, I mean, that's why we're saying that the international community needs to take deliberate international political action to put to an immediate end the continuing carnage.